Our scripture reading today is taken from Isaiah 43:16-21 and John 12 verses 1-8. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I form for myself so that they might declare my praise. And now John 12, verses 1-8, where Mary anoints Jesus. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Thus ends the reading.
Thank you, Joyce. I'm struck by the two readings that Joyce just shared, by the notion of past, present, and future. In the passage from the poet Isaiah, he has some imagery about the events of the Exodus that recalls the act of God in parting the sea and destroying the chariots. And then he moves immediately to God is doing a new thing. Jesus implores the disciples to appreciate him while he's still with them, praising Mary's generous acts of anointing. And yet this text is looking toward the future. I think it's sometimes hard. I don't think it is sometimes hard. I know it's sometimes hard to strike a balance between remembering and honoring the past, of living in the present, and looking ahead toward the future that God is calling us into. As I said, Isaiah recounts the saving acts of God in the Exodus, and then tells the listeners not to remember the former things. Don't consider the things of old. Wants them to remember, or he uses that imagery to cause them to remember, and then says, but don't remember, don't hold on to those things. Because God is going to be doing a new thing. What is that new thing? What does that mean for us? I want you to think about that and ponder that this morning. Isaiah has God saying, I'm about to do a new thing. And then John, leave her alone. Let her be. Jesus tells Judas, she's doing the right thing for this moment, the one thing that's necessary. In those short verses from John, we get a dinner party. Jesus is at Lazarus' home with his sisters, Mary and Martha, and they finish dinner, and then Mary comes and lets her hair down, kneels down in front of Jesus, holding a bottle of oil, of fragrance, worth a year's wages for the common laborer, and proceeds to pour that costly oil on Jesus' feet and then wipes it clean with her hair. And Judas, he complains about the extravagance. What's going on here? What's happening in this story? Well, we see Mary in her chutzpah again at the feet of the rabbi. Not a place for a woman in first century Jewish Palestine. And then she assumes the role of a priest as she anoints him. Again, not a role for a woman at this time. And she raises the hackle of at least one man in the room and maybe others by her actions. We see Judas' protest about the cost of this very expensive oil and its misuse in his understanding. Why wasn't it sold and given to the poor? Now that seems to me to be a very legitimate question. Why was this oil, costly oil, used to anoint Jesus' feet when there's so much need? How do we balance the cost of maintaining a pipe organ or fixing walls in the basement of the church, of maintaining a beautiful sanctuary, with the needs of all those who are hurting in our society? I think it's one of the questions that we continue to struggle with. I know it's been increasingly obvious to me this week. I happened to be just on Wednesday finally meeting the two chaplains at Mercy Hospital in the afternoon when they were about to announce the new Pope. And so after spending some time with Ed and the Catholic chaplain, we watched the announcement and were surprised, at least the Roman Catholics in the room were surprised, at Pope Francis, and immediately began speculating about what his name choice meant. And as we've been following the events, the contrast between the new Pope and the rather, I don't want to say if ostentatious or what, the accoutrements that Benedict, or Pope Emeritus, used. and the needs of the poor. So Judas raises concern, but John basically passes over it and says, Judas is really concerned about the money in the treasury because he's been dipping into it. And he's really not concerned about the poor. But I think that's a legitimate question for us. How do we use the resources in the church that God has given to us and entrusted to us? And then we see Lazarus. John makes sure we know that he ate. So he really is alive again. And Lazarus, being raised from the dead, is causing an ongoing concern and ruckus in the neighborhood and becomes one of the reasons for the crucifixion of Jesus in the coming week. And we see Mary's intimacy with Jesus. As I said, she loosens her hair, again challenging that first century Jewish customs and propriety. You don't do that in the company of men. It's an act of hospitality, to be sure. The customary washing of guests' feet, but that comes at a time of as the guest comes, and it's usually done by servants. This is something else that's happening. This is an act of radical hospitality. This is an act of astonishing extravagance. Radical hospitality. Astonishing extravagance. I think we're called to practice a radical hospitality in today's world. And we're called to be astonishingly extravagant, not only in how we use our money, but how we share our love. In our time, just in the last week or two, as we've celebrated International Women's Day and finally witnessed the reaffirmation and expansion of the Violence Against Women's Act that was being held up for so long, the words, "Leave her alone," ring clear. We still have so many places, not only in our nation, but our world, where women are not treated equally in so many ways. So how might we take to our heart Jesus' words about courageous love and bold witness of Mary? What does it mean to leave her alone today? Or in another way, what is the thing necessary today? Jesus says, she's doing the necessary thing. Leave her alone. What is that for us today? What's the one thing necessary to make sure that women are treated as equals throughout our society and throughout our world? Or asking in another way, what is the new thing that God is doing with us and through us? What is the new thing that God is doing with you and through you? What are the acts of radical hospitality that we're being called to? And how do we practice astonishing extravagance in our lives? Lots of questions. Together we need to find the answers. Amen.